gentlemen.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 286. This is Ted, your host here on the Motorcycle Men podcast. We have a great interview for you today. Today, we have some good friends and some familiar names here on the podcast. So stick around. But first, the Motorcycle Men podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. They offer high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, go to ScorpionUSA.com. And of course, Shinko Tires. Shinko has a tire to suit your needs and riding style without breaking that bank account. So go over to Shinko Tire USA and make sure you tell them that the Motorcycle Men sent you. And Wild Ass Seats. Now, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and that fatigue, you want to go over to wild-ass.com and get your cushion today. Make sure you tell the real Craig Johnson that the Motorcycle Men podcast sent you over. And of course, our good friends over at Tobacco Motorwear, you know you want to get in Dave's pants. That's right. Dave and Andrew and all the crew over there make the best casual riding gear for men and women. And there's only one place you should be going. And that's Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com. And our listeners will get a lovely 10% off your order when you use that coupon code MOTOMEN. Your safety is worth it. So get on over there. Get in Dave's pants. And, of course, Uclear Digital. Now, you can enhance your ride with Uclear's DynaMesh-compatible intercom. You'll get powerful music and crystal-clear phone calls on any road, any trail, on any helmet. The most portable system you'll ever have with the best audio you will ever have. To learn more, go to UclearDigital.com and tell them that the Motorcycle Man podcast sent you. Time now for that interview. Enjoy. All right, boys and girls, here we are as Motorcycle Men Podcast is episode 285, 6, something, and a little different tonight. Ordinarily, when I have a guest on the show, we just get right into tell us who you are and where you're from, but we're not going to be doing that. Tonight is a little special thing. It's kind of a, you know, I guess, impromptu round table, and I've got some very good friends with me here today from the... I don't know if I... Do I use the word former?
Formerly, I guess.
The former podcast, Loud Pipes, and the former podcast, Throttled Podcast. I have John and Rich from the Loud Pipe Podcast, and I have Kevin McKinney from the Throttled Podcast. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Evening.
Thank Boy, you, the enthusiasm is just absolutely unbearable.
Well, I figured it would be all three of us would probably all talk at the same time, and we'd be sitting here going back and forth.
That's fine. I don't care. I'm not running sound effects, so don't worry about that. You know, in tradition, because I know Loud Pipes, you guys did this all the time. Tell us what you're drinking.
In my glass, my friend, because I don't drink beer anymore. And maybe, well, I do, but we'll get into that later. Just a little light rum with some mango passion fruit juice.
And also joining us all the way from, I don't know where the hell you are, Rico, but Rico Hogan with the Loud Pipes Podcast. How you doing, guy?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. And I'm from Atlanta right now.
Atlanta. All right. Yep. Good. Well, Atlanta. Welcome. I'm glad you could join us for this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, in tradition, what are you guys drinking tonight? I know, Richie, you said you're not doing beer anymore, so what are you doing?
I started off with my little bit of light rum with some mango passion fruit juice.
That sounds a little
girly.
I wasn't going to say it, but thank you. Thank you, Rico. And John, what are you drinking? Where did John go?
He fell asleep.
Scared him away.
Oh, there he is.
As I said, I was doing a little work project tonight while
doing
this recording. So in the cup is, well, a little bit leftover Coke.
Oh, that's it. Well, when you say a little leftover Coke, you're referring to the beverage, correct?
Right.
Yes.
John's hardcore.
All right. How about you, Rico? You got any kind of brew in front of you?
You know it, baby.
Well?
I'm drinking a Yuengling Black and Tan.
Damn. Mm. You guys don't mess around, do you?
No, my favorite.
How about you, Kevin?
Moonshine.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's moonshine. Because tonight was either going to be a Woodford reserve night, or I remember from my trip up when I visited Rich and them, I had some blackberry moonshine that I've been kind of saving for the oppressive summer heat. And since that has pretty much arrived, I cracked that open today and
there you go.
Enjoying some of that.
Look, I am drinking actually a big tumbler of water.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Hitting hard stuff. I'm sorry. Because, you know, when you're taking medication for injuries, uh-huh. you don't want to uh-huh. necessarily mix that with, beverages of the alcoholic persuasion.
What? I am taking medication for injuries. I'm just not sure if injuries.
Yeah, but you've reached that I don't give a crap stage.
Right? It's only an injury if you've been diagnosed.
That's pretty funny. I like that. So the reason why I got you guys on here, because you guys, both of your podcasts, have you decided to pull the plug on it and no longer do it. And since we've actually been podcasting about the same amount of time, I thought it only right to have you guys on to talk about it and your shows and where you've been with them and how things went.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is like a group therapy type.
it's either that or he's rubbing it in that he's still on the air.
No. Yeah. No.
This is our diagnosis right here.
But we'll start with the Loud Pipes. Now, you guys started in 2015, right?
14.
2014. That's right.
September 11th, 2014.
Right. And whose idea was it to start your show?
Oh, wow. I think,
I was going to say, I probably started the idea, but it was jointly, I was going to say, you could say jointly hatched and raised by Rico and I.
Right. Yeah. And at the time when you guys first started, it was just you and Rico, and John was your technical advisor.
Right.
Yeah, we brought him in around episode 10 to do behind-the-scenes stats gathering and stuff like that. Feed us data so we weren't just like blah, 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 and spouting off wrong information.
Right.
Which, maybe we did that anyway, but he was there to keep us straight. And then eventually he got on mic, which was good, and then it was a nice trio.
Yeah. Did you have any specific inspiration to start the podcast, or what were your ideas and hopes and dreams for the show? Yeah. Did you have any, or were you just flying by the seat of your pants?
We had a bunch of them because we kind of worked together for a minute, and we were sitting in a conference room, sitting around a table. We were just kind of preparing for our next meeting, and we were just talking about motorcycles, cars, and just all of it. We were just getting excited and all giddy, you know. As we're trying to type up the notes for the agenda for our meeting. And he was like, we should do a podcast. I was like, what? Podcast? I was like, all right, cool. I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? He's like, well, we like cars. We like motorcycles. You know, you got the sports aspect. Yep. And, you know, I'm on a Harley and we can talk about that and talk. We can go ride this and that. And I was like, all right, that sounds pretty cool. And it turned out to Loud Pipes. So. That's the high level.
Yeah. And there were actually three topics originally, and we never got to the third, and the second one kind of faded. So originally it was motorcycles, cars, and firearms. So it was all the loud things.
You know? How about that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. We never got to firearms, and then the cars thing kind of faded.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, so you started your podcast right around the same time, really, as I did.
Mine was... Yeah, October 2015.
What was your lame brain reason for starting a podcast?
Well, I was getting back into riding after taking a pretty big break, and I knew nobody, and I knew nobody that actually rode around me or in my area, especially in the career that I was in at the time. So it was a way for me to put something out there that was either a comment off of something I was hearing from a couple other shows, yours and Rich's included, and everything. So, you know, it's like, well, I've got things to say and they may be wrong, but people will tell me if I'm wrong. I'm sure nobody on the internet will be shy. And, that's just kind of what started. It's me getting plugged in and getting into the industry and trying to learn more and connect and do all that good stuff. So, I mean, plus there was a void with the pace kind of shutting down earlier that year, or the year before, where you know, nobody's really talking about just the news articles and the things, and I think they did a good job, and I was like, well, just give me a way to force me to read and not read, but read the news and get involved and start learning about the different brands and, you know, the different aspects of all the bikes and put some foolish things out there and have people be like, oh, well, you know, actually, and, you know, there's plenty of correction. So
I'm glad you mentioned the news, Kevin, because that's one of the things we never intended to touch.
You know, that's interesting you should say that, because in all the episodes I've ever listened to of Loud Pipes, you guys really never got into the news.
Now, our original premise was we wanted to make original content. So like Rico said, we want to go, let's go ride a bunch of bikes. Let's do an event. Let's go to a show and bring that back to our show and share that with people. That was one of the driving forces. And then as time went on and we started having to fill shows with, okay, well, what's going on? What new bike is out there?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about it from afar because none of us have seen it. That's where things, that was the first kind of fading moment, is when we started getting into stuff like that.
Ah, okay.
But the second thing we focused on, kind of like what Kevin did, is, you know, he saw Void, is we went after sound quality as well. Because I was listening to a ton of tech podcasts at the time and a lot of podcasts about making podcasts, so I was just up on what people used and the gear and different sounds. So we dove headfirst into getting a pile of gear and stuff and making it sound right. And I was kind of a pain in the ass to the other two guys about that.
I can't imagine that, not at all.
Yeah, and I mean, on the sound issue,
he's a little OCD.
Yeah, we worked hard on getting it set at the beginning, and my idea was if I can get it set and locked in, I won't have to worry about that anymore.
Right, exactly.
And, and that worked for me for a while. And then I got to where, you know, I at the same time I was having kids, as I was starting the show, I was having kids starting to get involved in activities. So three kids have, I mean, I was gone almost every night until like late at some kind of ballpark. And so I was trying to find ways to streamline the process, and I really had it nailed down to where I couldn't chop any more time out of it. You know, that we got to where we didn't edit unless it was really necessity, and usually it was language based because we tried to keep ours family oriented.
I don't understand
not
what that is.
You would understand what that means, Ted. we tried to keep it family oriented, and you know, that's actually, since the show's ended, for the few that have found out, because I haven't actually published the last episode yet. It's ready to go, but I haven't hit the button yet. But that's what I've heard, is saying, hey, thanks for creating something that I could listen to with my kids.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, and this is why Ted's drinking water, so this is going to be a family order.
You know, the thing is, the only part of my show that's family is my interviews. That's it. There's no other part of the show that's family, you know. So, but hey, it works. You know? So, I was going back through the episodes of both of your shows, and I managed to get back to. I wanted to see what the longest episode you guys have ever done. Now, Loud Pipes, your longest show actually was your very last show at 2 hours and 43 minutes.
What? That's how long it was.
That was your last show. That's how long it was.
Yeah. That was a fun show to do.
It was really good. You know, Kevin, your last show was your longest show was 2 hours and 10 minutes, and that was episode 100.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm going through. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've got a funny story about episode 100.
Okay.
It was published at 2 hours and 3 minutes, but we had to cut a whole bunch of stuff out of the middle.
Oh, did you?
Well, there was basically a drunk bachelorette party in the bar.
Oh.
And
why would you cut that out?
They came over and they were hanging out with us, and they were kind of interested in the show. And then they were interested in riding with us to another bar and, you know, a little too interested in, you know, in some of us, we'll say. So a lot of that had to be cut out.
I understand.
I guess we could talk about it now, but it was like, that might come off, right? Just leave all that in there.
As far as it goes for the shortest show, it wasn't a numbered episode, which I found really odd, but it was the 2016 Barber Special Festival Day 2. It was only 23 minutes long. Oh. And I'm thinking, why bother?
We were exhausted. We were tired. We didn't care.
Yeah.
And Kevin, your shortest one was the New Rider. Again, not a numbered episode, but it was the New Rider Special Part 1, and that was 39 minutes long.
39?
Yeah, 39.
Yeah, we're just, you know, on those specials, we just...
Yes, there's just water in this. That's right. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
39.
Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing is, then I was trying to I recalled back what some of my favorite episodes were, and there were two on Loud Pipes that really stuck out the most to me. Of course, the one was John announcing. He made the big announcement to you guys that he got his license.
Yeah. That's I mean, yeah,
John dropping the bomb.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah,
just recap that for us.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't. Well, let me just say, I don't have a favorite.
Sorry.
No, I was gonna say I don't have a favorite episode, but 45 starts a whole string of episodes that I really enjoyed. It was pretty much from 45 all the way to probably 50. So, John drops the bomb. We're in Atlanta with
Jocelyn,
Aaron Shaw.
Oh yeah.
Aaron brought us down there, and we record 3 episodes. Thanks to her. So one with her, Robert Rivera, the guy who painted my helmet, and then Jocelyn Dorsey. Then we do a meetup ride after that, which is 49. And then we do the first round table with the Roadhog. So from 45 to 50, that was so much fun. That whole series.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. And during that episode, Rich was picking his toes the entire time.
Yeah. You know,
I love this behind the scenes stuff. I want to know more. I want to know more.
The thing was, and it came out, I think, in 100. We were talking about it, reminiscing about that show, and how Rich was like, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this." And I could tell. I'm just like, and I just wanted to, like, I'm sitting there, like, busting at the seam, and I held it, you know, probably for a couple weeks. I mean, holding this news that, you know, but I knew it'd make good content, like the raw reaction.
Right.
Because you never would get it back that way again.
No. No. And just to fill in the backstory for anyone who might not know, John didn't ride up to that point. So that was his first spider and his first soiree into riding other than four-wheelers. Right, John? It wasn't anything. Snowmobiles, maybe, in the past.
Yeah, snowmobiles, you know, ATVs, nothing more than that. And so... Yeah, that was cool.
Huge surprise, because he had gone with us. We had already done the first barber, right? At that point, I think.
Right.
And John had gone down with his car, and he had a great time.
Yeah, he was a mule. We put all our bags and stuff in his car.
And I always wondered how at some point if he's going to say, no, screw you guys, carry your own crap.
Oh, he said that all the time.
Oh, he did?
And he still does.
Oh my God! Now you guys, I'm gonna get to you in a second, Kev. But your first show is the Loud Pipes. Your first show, well, put it this way: the first one that's available on iTunes right now is episode 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
What the hell's that? And between 5 to 19 is missing. So 1, 2, 3, and 5 to 19 are not even there. What's up with that?
So when we converted platforms, so we started the website on Squarespace. Which we still have for the RDub Studios and the MPC and stuff like that. And the audio was on Libsyn. And then as things went forward, this Fireside platform came out, run by Dan Benjamin, who's a guy I listened to a ton, who ran the 5x5 studio or 5x5 network, I guess it's called. So his platform comes out. I love what that thing is. So like, great, let's convert it. And it all imported fine, and I never even paid any attention to it. And then we realized later that the first 20 were missing. So episode 4 got put back when Modus went out of business, because episode 4 was the interview with Lee Khan that Rico did.
Right.
And the factory tour and stuff like that. So we put episode 4 back because we had talked about it, and then realized, there's like 18 more that are missing. I just never got around to reposting them, but...
Never got around to it.
Never got around to it.
So your first. So when was your actual first show?
That's another funny story. Yeah. So the first recording. So we published the first episode the 11th of September, 2014. But we had recorded it probably a good month before that.
Right. Yep.
And we didn't like it, so we scrapped it and re-recorded it. So there's technically an episode zero out there that we've never published.
We should do it.
Which is very similar to one, but it had to be redone. We just didn't like it.
Publish it all every time. Just let it run.
Right.
That's what makes it memorable. You know, people remember that piece of crap that they put out? Yeah, that's what that works. I know it works for me. So
yeah, and that was the thing. You know, to Kevin's point, he said it and forget it, which is probably a smart thing to do. I never let go of trying to massage and fine tune, and that really got monotonous. Yeah. You know, the leveling of the audio and fixing things, and just I never stopped tinkering with it. And probably if I was a little more freeform and just went from recording to posting, you know, probably would have a little more stamina.
We have this saying in the recording industry when it comes to mixing. Is that you're never done mixing. You just give up.
Right. You just stop and publish. Right?
Yeah, that's it. We're done. We're done with it.
Yeah. I remember Rich would spend a week, you know, taking out all the breathing, all the all the little things. And he'd sit there. Remember that, Rico, in the beginning?
Yeah.
Hours, oh, massage data.
And he would cry about it so much. I was like,
that's before
shit,
we got.
Shut up.
Yeah. And then we got better equipment, you know, better mics and noise gates and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then as we went along, we got better at knowing when to cut in on each other and when the person was going to stop. And
right
now, Kevin, your first show was on October 20th, 2015. That was an introduction show, and then your episode one was on October 23rd. You know, it's funny. I was scrolling back through all of your episodes, and then I went back to the very first one, and it's entitled "The Throttle Podcast is on the Air," and I said, well, so then I just started reading the description of it, and I'd like to share that with you. Do you remember what you wrote?
Oh, geez, no, I don't.
All right. Don't. Hello and welcome to the Throttled Podcast. It is our goal to bring you informative and entertaining motorcycle news, as well as stories that we hope are somewhat factual. Why only somewhat factual and entertaining? Why only somewhat factual and not entirely 100% honest gospel? Well, that's an easy one. We are never that right. In fact, between rumors and misinterpretations in the motorcycle industry, a good portion of the time news and stories gathered, we are mired in a fog of uncertainty and misdirection. Is that going to stop us? Heck no. We're going through those topics out there and see what sticks. Why not, right? That's right. What you wrote for your first episode.
You're
thought
probably
that was
the only person to have ever read that other than myself.
No. I was gonna say that's a mouthful for first episode.
Yeah, right. I don't.
You know, you're all excited, and I mean, I couldn't come up with something with that many diverse words in it now if I had to.
So contrast that with your show notes now, which is like, you know, episode number, links, thanks. You know, it's like.
And that was the thing is, you know, when I first started, it was. You got to do show notes, and they got to be about 300, you know, words or whatnot, you know, whatever the number was. And I was like, okay, cool. And back in high school, I used to enjoy writing a little bit. But as time pressures, that's how you can tell a show that's getting time crunched. The show notes get shorter and briefer and to the point. And you're kind of like, does anybody really even look at these anyway? You know, because I only look at show notes when there's a link that I want to click on that they said this will be in the show notes, and that's the only time I usually go to them. So, you know, and at that point I was like, you know, does it matter? So I started changing them, and we always try to have something at the beginning, like here's a rise that we did, a brief recap of the hosts that were on the air.
Yeah.
After a while, but and every blue moon we would get very verbose in our show notes.
Not often, but you know, because if you look at your episode, okay, now that was your introduction show notes. If you look at your episode one show notes, it's probably half of what you wrote for the first one, and it's just it's just a few links, and that's pretty much it. Of all your episodes, Kevin, did you have a favorite?
I'd probably say the AIM Expo ones where I went and did the interviews there. I'm not a great interviewer, and. You know, just to be able to get out and meet the people in the industry. And then I was able to meet Larry at one of them very briefly before I had to unfortunately come home early. You know, and then as far as my shows, those are probably the ones that really stand out is when I was able to do things like that and yeah. you know, go places and do things with the show. Mm-hmm. The first time I went to the BMW off-road stuff,
yeah,
that was really cool. You know, Performance Center there in Greer.
For me, I think in all the episodes I listened to of your show, one of my favorites, and I don't know why, but it was one of the earlier interviews you did. You did an interview with the, I don't know, was he the curator of the Barber Museum?
He really worked with, I can't remember the gentleman's name. He really worked with, you know, Mr. Barber when he was setting everything up and really before there even was a Barber's Museum.
Right.
So, you know, when it was first day, hey, we're going to take these bikes and that you just kind of got, and we're going to ship them up to New York, I think, or New Jersey for an expo. And, you know, that really helped drive the, hey, we can do our own thing here and make Birmingham, Alabama, a really big motorcycling center, for a lot of the people in the South because, I mean, to be honest, we don't really have anything like that where we're at. You know, there's not really a big motorcycling thing. And with that on the spot, it's, you know, really helped, you know, like for a while, Confederate relocated here. Now,
big destination. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've had other, you know, Motus started here. And then there's been a couple other startups that never really got anywhere that have tried. So, I mean, it's becoming a destination, and almost every rider you talk to has been or wants to come to that museum, and it's definitely worth it. If you've got time on a trip to if you're laying over and you've got time to get out there and walk to it, just keep it on that clock because you'll lose time in there real quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, have you guys been to Barber together?
Yes.
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 Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had something to say time. There, Rich?
Not the first time we went, but I think it was our second trip.
Second and third time. Second trip.
Yeah. Wow.
That yeah, I was putting nice. Up my hand signal because I was going to ask Kevin a question.
Yeah, go for it.
So when you started, like you said about the pace going away and, you know, someone to go through news and things like that, that was a format that I enjoyed where it was – it's tough to do. The solo podcast, you've got something to say. You pick a topic, you're going to pick the bones out of it and cover it by yourself. Yeah. So what was your, I don't know, motivation or impetus? Like what was the switch where you said, okay, I need someone else because X, Y, and Z, you know, whatever your reasons are.
Well, that's what I was going to get into that too. I was going to talk about the co-host, but that's good. While yeah. we're on it, go ahead, Gavin.
So, I mean, why did I bring Larry on? Right. Larry came on out of a necessity that I saw that I don't know enough to really pick apart the articles. I can read them, give my interpretation, and what you realize is almost all the articles you read online are going to give praise to the bike that they're reviewing because they don't want to get on the bad side of.
Right.
The manufacturers.
You want to keep getting
bikes. Otherwise, they won't advertise on their page. Right? All about the money, and very few that you found were completely honest. Right. So if you open up a website and it's got an ad on it from a manufacturer, you're almost never going to get to something that's negative. To the point where, all right, we're going to rate all this type of bike, and you know it always starts off with the same. When they get to the final conclusion. In reality, you can't go wrong with any of these bikes. But if we had to split hairs, boom, 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 boom.
It would be the one who paid us the most. Right. I mean, yeah.
And a lot of times, that's really what you think it comes down to because you're looking at the bikes and it's like, okay, everything you said up until this point, I was 100% sure you were going one direction. Then at the last minute, swerve. It's like, really? That doesn't make sense. If this other bike's won every category, but you're going to give the overall to somebody else. Yeah. But anyway, so I wanted to bring in somebody to bounce ideas off. I wanted somebody that rode something different, has a different level of experience than I did, different area of riding, different kind of backgrounds. And Larry and I couldn't be more apart at the time, you know. And so and we did get along. We had a lot of good conversations you know, I brought him on as a guest and we talked and just turned it into this thing. And did that for years, just the two of us.
Now, one of the things I did notice though, and I see this in some podcasts where all you guys did your podcast, everybody was remote. There was nobody in the same room.
Yes.
Now, did that make it difficult for you?
Sometimes.
At times. I mean, obviously, there was a thing where at one point, you know, we had four different hosts on the show at the same time. And, or like I said, I had three co-hosts, however you want to say it. There's four of us. And every once in a while you get the Larry would be digitized because it's going across the country, right? And you're doing a lot of processing on the back end, especially when you start streaming and other stuff outside of it.
Yeah.
So technologically, yeah, there was some issues. But I was just like, you know, hey, this is life, guys. I don't spend time polishing it. I don't know how to fix that anyway. And I ain't got the time or the money to invest into fixing a bad internet connection. I know there are techniques to eliminate that, but that triples or quadruples the workload for me, and that wasn't an option. Yeah. So I just let it roll as this is what it is. We're recording over Skype. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. You know, and I appreciate everybody that would be like, hey, we really need you to fix that. And a lot of people are very patient with us, but you know, it came down to,
yeah,
hey, it is like you said, it is.
Internet's not shy, but that's it's a great question there, Ted. And we had all of the shows we did where we were in the same room, even if it was just like Rika was here in Charlotte, or I had met up with John or whatever, or certainly when we got everyone together. Those shows are automatically better than all the remote ones. And I don't care what the content is.
The dynamic is so different when you're in the same room.
Yep.
Yeah, because you can sit there and look at the person's face and figure out if they're going to break or, you know.
It's just the vibe is different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The energy in person is like you're really hanging out. Like, where did we go that time, Rico? I forget. We went somewhere and we just came back here and recorded. And it was so chill to just sit in the same room. We're drinking copper. We're having a good time. I mean, that's the best kind of show right there.
Because I know it must have been very hard. Because it's generally speaking, John, Rich, and Rico, you guys are relatively close to each other.
We were
3 hours.
Especially when I was.
Yeah, but we were with
still, like we're so close, right?
But with Kevin and Larry, I mean, you guys are across the country. You know,
for the first three, you know, I went with what's the furthest way I could possibly get from me, and that was California. So he just happened to come from California, and then if I want to go another direction, and then New Jersey popped in there, or New York was Chris, and finally when Tom came on, and Tom was funny, he actually emailed us. He was like, "Hey, can I be on your show?" I was like, why not? You know, I mean, because that's one thing that we did try to do over the years is mix it up at some point, try to change formats, try to do some things, and we started falling back into the same, well, we didn't have time to prep, so back to the news. And so, but yeah, so yeah, we got spread out.
Because I've done shows with my goofy podcast where, of course, naturally we do our live show every 2 weeks, and we got all of us are all in the same room. And then we've done the remote shows where we're all in our different. And you know what? It's those clowns. They kind of like zone out because it's like they're watching TV and they just kind of like sit there and stare at the screen. And it's like participation. What are you talking about? You know, so I've always hated doing the remote shows.
You're like, hello. Hello.
Yeah. Thank you very much. But that's what I get. And I can only imagine how difficult is for you, Kevin, how difficult that must be, you know, when you never see your co-host ever to do a show. Did you guys ever meet?
So I met Chris when he came down to Barber to three years ago when we actually won the MCP and we did the trophy presentation there and did all that. So I met Chris that weekend. The next year, so it'd be 2019, met Larry. Now, so this is 4 years after we've been doing the podcast, nearly 4 years. Met Larry in September at AIM Expo in Vegas. And so he rode out to Vegas. I flew out. And then Tom, I didn't meet until the Loud Pipes meetup this past year. So I've only met all of the co-hosts that I've had just once.
Wow.
In person. Which, I mean, it was great to do. You know, and I just, you know, I still threaten Larry with, hey, I won't come out. We're going to ride up the coast, you know, from your area up to, Northern California one day.
Wow.
Man, Rich, means our how long we've long to know each other. It's been a long side, huh?
Long stint, yeah. See, I don't 27. Know if I can do the math. 27 years?
I think it's 27.
No kidding, really.
Long time.
So how did Rico get into the mix here?
Nobody really, we never talked about that, did we, Rich? We talked about it off the air, but we never really talked about how that came about, did it? Nobody really knows.
I think one time on one of your shows, you mentioned that John and Rich were good friends and that he had a little bit of technical acumen that was going to come on and try to help. And that's how John kind of got introduced.
Oh, okay. So,
but I don't think
Rich did mention it.
Yeah, it never explained how Rico came into the fold, though.
I'm black, that's why.
We had to diversify. Sorry. Love you, Rico.
That was a quota thing. No. No, we had, yeah, I met Rico at, like we said, we worked together and we just hit it off. We were all into the same things, you know, bikes, cars, like I said, bikes, cars.
Guns,
all that stuff.
Yep.
And it just seemed like the more we talked, the more we were interested in the same kind of stuff. And same, but opposite, you know.
Right. The same relationships and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich, John, Rigo, who is your favorite guest that you've had on your show?
Ooh.
Oh, man. I don't think I can pick one.
Yeah. That's tough.
I got two. I can throw me name them. I thought about this before. So I guess I'll go with the first one.
Yeah.
I'll go with Justin Webster.
Yeah, he was.
That's high up there. Yep. Always fun episodes.
He's a cool guy.
Awesome guy to hang out with in person, too.
Awesome guy. And then the other one would be Deb.
The fashionista. Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be my two.
I just saw she's selling one of her motorcycles. She actually lives in my area now.
No kidding.
Yeah, she lives in Birmingham now.
Oh, wow.
And so, she posted on one of the Birmingham GS things that she's selling her.
Is it the blue one?
Yeah, the blue one.
Wow, how about that? What about you, Kevin? You got a favorite guest?
You know, I had so few, but of the guests that I had, what was his name? It was probably the guy that started up the Ace Cafe in Orlando.
Okay.
I can't remember his name, but I will say. He was one. The other one that was just a trip for me was, I think it's Matt Chambers, the former CEO and kind of, founding thing of Confederate, now Curtis. I think it's his name. He is in a very eccentric guy. And so that conversation was just like, I'd ask a question and that was probably the most heavily edited show I had because it would just go off and I'm just like, what? It's like, huh?
That doesn't happen in an interview. Come on.
Yeah. And so, and then I'd be like, okay, well, let's, we you know, and I like, well, I'm going to re-ask that question. And cause you kind of wandered around and let's separate that into two different questions. And I'd ask both those questions. So it turned out to sound very fluid. But it was, I probably used maybe half of the material I had with him.
Wow.
I mean, he was very gracious with his time. And he, I mean, we sat down and we had a great talk. But when I got out of that, one of the guys came up and he was just like, so how was that? I was just like, well, he was like, yeah, I know. I mean, he's like, I know. So,
One of the questions I did want to ask you, Rich, all you guys.
Oh, what about me?
Maybe you can answer. Well, Rico, you disappeared to Costa Rica.
Well, yeah. You're right.
And you left your partners behind.
I know. And I was sad.
Costa Rica wasn't that bad. It was the family stuff when you came back. I think that's when you got busier.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Costa Rica, we were still kind of making it work. Talk about Skype.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I can only imagine how you did that.
Across the world, yeah.
Wow.
But you know, we did some double-enders, though.
Right. And then, you know, the riding styles there and, you know, the horror stories you would hear about riders in Costa Rica. And you would see the occasional Harleys and the Indians roll through with the guys that are renting bikes and kind of, you know, going through the countryside and so forth. The twisties were amazing because, you're on the side of a mountain and you're just going down the mountain. But the danger level was exponential, you know, because of all the things that could happen in the cars or the trucks in your lane as you come around a tight corner. So there was that, and there was a couple of times where, you know, I'm like, holy crap, if I was on my bike, I'd probably have been off the cliff by now. But with Costa Rica, I met Wyman, and he was one of my favorite guests.
Yeah,
along cool with Lee Khan. Yeah, and he was just, like, you remember we were at Wheels a few times just recently, Rich? And
yeah.
I can't remember the son's name. He was kind of talking about the bikes and so forth. And when I was with Wyman, we started talking about bikes. You know, he was that detailed and passionate about these old Indian motorcycles he would work on, just all the little quirks and things about the motors and the bike itself. You know, he was just a wealth of knowledge, and, you know, it was just fun to hang out with him and work on his old Army Jeep. You know, the guy was the cool as hell, and I really miss him and enjoyed hanging out with him. And with Lee Khan, it was an automatic connection. We just hit it off when we first met, and he, you know, you could see the excitement in his eyes. As we walked through his shop, and he was kind of bragging about the things they were doing, and, you know, pointing out certain details about the effort and passion that went into this motorcycle that he wanted to develop. And it was just fun to kind of sit there and watch him kind of light up like a Christmas tree when he talked about his motorcycles. And, it was cool to the fact where, you know, somebody on this level, and to be able to hang out with him and then ride his motorcycles with him, and just, you know, kind of race through the mountainsides with this guy on his motorcycle.
That test drive had to be a highlight.
It was. It wasn't. And, you know, and I think about that, you know, often about, you know, that bike and just riding it with Lee Khan, you know, and those were my two favorites that I participated in and really have hit home for me.
You know, one episode that I really remember, and maybe you guys can correct me on this, John had a little bit too much to drink. Do you guys remember that one episode?
Was that was that when you guys were in the mountains and I was in California? Maybe?
Yeah. No, I don't know if that's the one, because I think you guys were all in the same place. You were visiting somewhere, but you were all in the same place. You were in a hotel room. But, John, all you right. were off the wall, man. I was cracking right. up listening so to this guy.
Yeah, I think that was the weekend that Rich was in California on business.
You guys were in the mountains, yeah.
Bacon, Rico, and I were in Robbinsville doing the show.
That was hilarious.
I don't think I was drinking.
You were drinking something, man. I don't know what you were doing, but you were off the charts, man. I was laughing my ass off listening to you guys.
I think that's the only episode I can think of that's the one that I think was the funniest, yeah.
When Rico would get a little too much.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Rico never did that, did he?
Yeah.
Those are the ones
that I would text Rich the next day after I heard it. we would be like, I was like, wow, so Rico, obviously, you know, the AA meetings are working. So
yeah, that's the weekend.
Well lubricated.
Yeah.
That's the weekend. I remember that. That's the weekend that we were doing. I met with a Hootenanny. Remember that, Rico? You came up. Yeah. We led that group across the Blues Parkway and down the Diamondback. And unfortunately, you dropped a bike in Little Switzerland when I was taking a picture.
That was your fault.
Oh, you got to go there again.
Yeah.
The sad news. And then we got an interstate, and the guys were great, but we're like, okay, come on, switch the throttle a little more. We can go a little faster.
Yep.
A little bit.
Yeah. Who did the voice? Who did the female voice for the intro of your show?
That was me.
Because we don't know. We want to know. Whose voice was that?
Should we leave it a secret?
Oh, we could.
I can
give it a show now.
Do it again? No.
Is it going to remain a secret?
No. So we found it. So the woman's name, I have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure her name is Kiffany Jean. And she's a radio person somewhere in California. But we found her on Fiverr.
Okay.
It was one of those inexpensive voiceovers. Yeah. And we were just, I don't know, Rico and I were just scrolling through a bunch one day, and it was like, oh, listen to this voice, listen to that voice. And I don't think that was one that I found, but I sent it to him after the fact, and it was like, yeah, that's the one. Get that one.
Yeah, I think Nally kind of threw it out to you to go to Fiverr, didn't she?
She sent me into Fiverr, and I started looking, and it was pretty neat. And then all the music, except the very first one we bought, but all the rest of the music was done by Rico.
Oh, really? I didn't know Rico was musically inclined.
I am, believe it or not.
Really?
Digitally, but yeah.
No, not just digitally.
No kidding. So you actually recorded the music for the show?
Yep.
Wow, no kidding. Look at this. Multi-talented guy. How about that?
Multi-talented.
The Rico you don't know.
Exactly. And then some.
Yeah. Kevin, where'd you get your voice guy?
Same thing, Fiverr. You know, I was wanting something that, you know, I didn't want something that had like this super hard riff on it. So what I did is I tried to find the music first.
Yeah.
That was like, okay, it's got some guitar in there and it's got a good thing and everything, but it's not, you know, the same old heavy metal thing. Cause I wanted to reach out to all writers of all types. That was one thing that we kind of strove on the show, and I wanted to do it from the intro, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, if you just got a passion. So I wrote the script and I tried to envision like four or five different voices. Majority of the ones I was thinking of were female until the gentleman, I don't even know his name at this point. I had to look it up on my Fiverr account. And I was using Fiverr a lot for my businesses that I had at the time too. So, you know, once I got him kind of narrowed down, it took like three or four tries because he would like forget a word, you know, he was like, I'm so sorry, you know, but I listen back and I'm like, so you actually never said motorcycles. And I was like, did I not? And he listened back. He's like, I'm having an off week this week. Cause I don't know why, but you know, we finally got it nailed down and, you know, and I mixed it in with the music and cause he had put it on top of some other music that was really guitar driving. And I was like, oh no, that's not what I'm really looking for. So I remixed it over top of what I had. And, I liked it. I thought it was always a good thing. I never thought about switching it. So it seemed to work. The only thing I wish I would have done is, and I tried to at one point and he was busy and it kind of fell out, was, get him to add in Larry. Here's your host, Kevin and Larry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was because it was always, you know, Kevin, you know, here's your host, Kevin McKinney. And then it would trail off in that start. And I always felt, especially after Larry had been there for about a year, I was like, I need to get Larry added to it. And when I reached out to him, I probably did it like twice over a 2 month period. He was just like, I am slammed. I'm not going to be able to get to it. I'm not accepting new work right now. I'm just booked up.
Wow.
At that point it was like, well, you know, at this point.
We learned after the first or second change. So it's not expensive to go back to Fiverr, except we did buy everything as commercial. So it's like, yeah, it's $5 or 15 or whatever the flat fee is. But then the commercial license is like another 35 on top of that. So we tried not to go back to the well. So the last one we did, I had, you know, changed the opening script, but then I just said, say these four names at the end and then repeat those names with "and" in front of it so I can mix them around. So it's like, so I have this audio file where she basically goes, Rich Warfield and Rich Warfield, you know, and then she just does all the names over and over. And then I could just cut it and add it in whatever order I want and I'm good to go.
When did you stop saying "and Rico"? Did you?
What do you mean? Well, I had a mixed up. Yeah. I had one for, if it was John and I had one, if it was John, Rico and I, or if it was just Bacon and I, like whatever the combo was, I had a file for each one.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
So whoever showed up that night, that's the one that gets played.
Did you have "and Bacon"?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep. When did Bacon join you guys?
About a year before we ended.
About the last year, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Rico kind of got busy and Rich and I ran it for a year, trying to get through it, and I was kind of saying that, you know, Rich and I kind of have the same voice, same demeanor, kind of can be boring. I'll put it out there.
Stop it.
We don't have to this. The
it's too much. Too much the same. There's
well,
no.
Well, that, yeah. They don't have any Rico. Is what they don't have.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Rico was busy. So we kind of as I'm black. You know, I met Bacon, and tried to you know, we finally talked. I got Rich to agree to let's bring Bacon on to help out and fill in Rico's spot, and he came in and helped energize it. So
he Rico'd it up, is what he did.
Yeah. A little Spanish.
He helped fill in Rico's spot because we miss Rico. And we knew Rico was busy.
Miss you guys too.
But busy doing what?
Life, bro. It took over hard. Oh,
I guess, man. Yeah.
You're going to need a part two.
Yeah, you're going to need a part two for the woes of Rico.
Yeah. So when did you guys realize that it was time to pull the plug? I mean, what made you think that, you know, this has gone far enough?
Or that was it.
Or is it just that life just got in the way?
Yeah, Rich had lost all his hair. And,
that was 26 years ago. I hate to tell you something. So.
Yeah.
So no, the show would never start it up.
I think that point really was it. I think when we knew it was going to be limited, when Rico was going to be able to join, the dynamic was going to change, and Bacon was kind of the last. That was the last hurrah. It's like, let me see if this brings the excitement back.
Yeah.
And it just never really did it. I mean, Bacon's cool. I love hanging out with him. You know, we've hung out in person several times. And, you know, he did what I asked him to do. He brought that energy to the show. Yeah. Build that, you know, the funny boy, the guy who wants to joke around and be, you know, an opposite to me and John. But it just never really got going after that.
But at the same time, you guys also got busy. You know, Rich, you got busy with the track. And, you know, John, you were doing your thing. So there was always all that, right?
Yeah. We all kind of went different ways, I would say. And then it was kind of hard. And I think the big thing that I go back to that I think hurt was the idea of the original content that, you know, Rich and Rico originally planned for, of test rides and everything, getting out. I think that kind of changed it, you know.
It did.
Yeah, when we couldn't get together in person,
right?
At least like once a month. That was probably the start of it. To be honest,
yeah, because you know it was nothing for me to drive to Charlotte from Campobello, to test ride and all that and hang out.
Yeah,
but it's when I moved to Costa Rica then it really took a twist and it wasn't the same. It wasn't as intimate. As of a connection when we got together and was able to really, you know, see each other on the bike and talk about it as we were riding because we had our centers on and we would talk, you know, as we were riding these things. And I missed that, you know, and I knew and Rich knew we had talked about it. It wasn't the same. It's not what we intended the show to be the way it was, you know, because, you know, if I would have never left Charlotte or Campobello, I think we would have kept it going and we will find different ways to kind of to mix in different varieties of information for everybody to kind of get our perspective on. But I think once we started, you know, once I started to travel a little bit more and, you know, not being as involved and, you know, it was hard for me because I wanted to do it, but I was exhausted from doing everything I needed to do, you know. Rich had his thing going on with his life and John had his thing going on. So it was just trying to coordinate everybody's schedule to line up. And when it did line up, we were like, oh, I'm too tired or, you know, it's just the moods wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't enthusiastic to be in it anymore, you know, because we were just being there just to be there, just to talk about something and say, let's get through this list and blah, you know, and that's not how we wanted the show. And we, you know, me and Rich, we've always talked about. Just the good old days of just doing what we enjoy doing and just having that camaraderie and everything. It was just a different thing altogether.
Yeah, I get it. And what about you, Kevin?
So mine's, you know, going back to why I started it, right? To get plugged in, to get to know people, to make acquaintances, get involved in the industry. Check, right? I mean, my favorite times probably on a bike over the last 5 years include, you know, three of the five people on this call, right? When the Loud Pipes guys came down to Barber and we were riding to, you know, around the track and putting out with God awfully slow people who shouldn't have been out there. And, you know, and then, you know, hey, don't pass. And then we're just waiting on, come on, Rico. And we're all thinking it. Come on, Rico. As soon as Rico makes a move, we're all gone.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, we took off. But anyway, you know, riding went to Modus after that, the hanging out at the hotels. And then the next year, you know, John breaking my bungee cord trying to put the MPC trophy on the back of my bike. you know, and then the next year, you know, I'm showing them different roads and access back to their hotel, and we're riding, and we got a bigger group, and you know, that was a lot of fun. And then going out with the Loud Pipes meet this past year was a blast, and I'm very gracious and appreciate that, just the opportunity to go through with you guys. You know, I did all that, right, and it just got to a point where my life was getting so busy, and work, and then when I started coaching, which was a great thing that came out of being on having the show, was being able to start becoming a motorcycle coach and helping new riders, and really finding that I'm pretty good at coaching and teaching and instructing, and you know, but that's weekend stuff too, so I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm coaching a lot, I'm coming in, I'm doing the show late, and I could tell those shows are some of the worst shows because I'm waiting on it. Those are a couple shows I'm just like, oh, for crying out loud, stop talking. You know, just, let's go, guys. Let's go. And as soon as the show's over, guys, I got to go. And I'd go upstairs and crash, you know, because it was two or three long, hard, long days. And it just started weighing on me. And it would be different if I didn't have to, if I could just show up, do the recording, and then I didn't have to try to fit into my schedule editing and stuff.
Right.
So about the time that Rich and them shut down, I started having a problem of finding time to just put together the show and get it published. That was my big issue. And so I went a year and change of, you know, sometimes being a month behind and then getting caught up in 1 week when I had, you know, like two lunches or a 2 hour break in the middle of the day. And, you know, so I was doing this ebb and flow. My viewerships were going down. And then I just, you know, while I always got discouraging comments, I got some things that were just, I don't know. It just got to the point where I was just like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out here really trying hard to put together something. Yeah. I know my audio isn't what it used to be. I can't fix it. I can't afford to fix it. I can't change it right now. And I did everything I could.
That's why we closed the our YouTube stuff. It was like people were commenting on like multi-year old videos. It's like, really?
You know, it's funny, Rich, you should say it, because I
you got time for
what
that?
Few YouTube videos you guys have, I really enjoyed them, especially the ones where you were riding together and chatting back and forth and you shared the video. I enjoyed those a lot. I thought they were great.
Too. Yeah, I love those too.
We tried doing that a few times. If that was something that we did on the air, record it live while riding. We did a couple of those. Those were fun to do.
Yep.
And that was when I started YouTube. That was actually, I wanted to get it there, you know, but it just ended up being a place for us to podcast the show. And I didn't realize we were doing YouTube. I guess because you just get in that habit. We had as many YouTube episodes out there as we did. I mean, we had quite a few where we were recording and everything. I just wish most of my audience would have transitioned over.
Yeah, it's a bit.
That'd have been awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to know, and not to steal your questions, Ted.
Go ahead, man, really.
We never really had an exit strategy. I mean, we did talk about it a little bit. And when we first started, Rico and I had a goal of 200 in mind. And I think we said like 200 or 10 years, right? If we ever get to 10 years, like that's going to be good enough. We're going to shut it down.
Right.
And the number 200 sticks to me, and that's my bike number on the track as well. So that's where that comes from. But we never really had a solid exit plan. So I'm curious, Kevin, if you ever thought about, you know, hey, when I get to 5 years, that's when I want to end it. Or if you had an episode number in mind, or if you guys even got that far.
What I had done is about 18 months before we recorded the last episode, I was thinking 300. You know,
gotcha.
300. Because that's a lot. It's going on. New shows are showing up left and right. I mean,
oh my God.
When I went to the last AIM Expo I did, I had probably 3 new podcasts. And I was only there for like 10 hours, something like that. I mean, a crazily short amount of time. Or maybe 28 hours, I think, is all in Vegas. And I had 7 shows. Hey, man, blah, 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 blah. And I feel like I blew them off because I'm like, you know, I've got all this personal stuff going on. I don't know what's, you know, I'm just like, yeah, cool. Yeah, sure. We'll catch up. And then I vanish. And then a couple of the, you know, the Cafe Racer and a couple of other shows that we're getting to get together to do a stream that night. Like we did the year before, you know, I was going to get plugged in with them to do that. And then kind of ghosted. I just, you know, I forgot to text them and tell them that, oh yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. So, not that they probably missed me at all, but, you know, it was just one of those, you know, 300. If I could get to 300, there's plenty of shows that are doing what I'm doing that are doing it better than I am, right? They've taken what we've done. They've learned from it. They're closer. They're more in the industry than I'll ever be. And so I was just noticing, you know, our audience numbers were slowly clicking down, right? I mean, at one point, I think our max listener number was like 3,500 episodes. And when we hovered around 2,000 listeners, and then it slowly just like, it's like every episode I put out, like 5 more people was just like, I'm done. I'm done. And I'm like, you know, if our audiences are dwindling, I was going to make it to 300. I was going to make it 300 for my patrons because I had a core group of patrons that had been there from the very beginning. And they're still patrons today to keep the shows on air for as long as that money in the Patreon account can pay for all the bills. And that's what I told them, you know. So. Wow. You know, they're still donating to a show that's not recording new episodes. Not all of them. And a fair number probably don't fully know that the show's gone. But the, you know, vast majority, I mean, I had the same 12 guys show up every Saturday, Sunday night to watch it live and comment. And we had a great community that would show up neat. Live.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Wow.
That's why I was doing it. But then what am I getting out of it personally? I just got to the point where I was like, would I miss this if it was gone? Right. Would I really miss this if it was gone? Well, I don't get to go ride on Sundays much anymore because I'm either coaching it or I got to do the show and that's the time for me to go ride. So my rides were getting smaller and, you know, it just became time. What really caused me to really think about it is Larry texted me one day after I had like a storm come through, knock on my internet. He was like, hey, give me a call. And we chatted, and he was like, hey, I think I'm going to retire. And I had told him probably about 6 months before that I don't think I would want to try to do the show without him because I feel that Larry was really the
– Well, he had a lot of great input. He had a lot of great input.
Yeah, he was really the opposite of me that I needed and that the show needed, right? We would challenge each other. You know, I, you know, we kind of poke fun of each other. And that's what a lot of people didn't see is, you know, we would give as much as we could take, but a lot of that was all fair beforehand and everything. Yeah. So, sometimes it seemed like I was picking on them, but no, we had a very good relationship, very good dynamic. And I honestly, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do the show without Larry there. When he told me that news, I said, well, I'm going to think it over. And then a couple of days later, we told the other guys what was going on, had a call. And I was like, I haven't made a decision yet. This is where I'm leaning, but I'm going to, and I'm being a believer, I'm pray about it, think about it, you know, really feel what's going on. And the more and more I got used to the idea of, you know, I got my Sunday nights back. I get a couple of hours back.
I understand.
It's amazing once you step away from it for a couple of weeks and your schedule changes.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like you said, I got every Sunday night back.
Yeah.
You know, I can do more stuff with the kids and well, not that you want to add work, but it's like, okay, well, if work ends up being long tonight or this afternoon, then I don't have to rush to do something with the kids, put them to bed, and then get to downstairs and record the show. It's just, hey, it was a long work day. I'm going to have fun with the kids, and I'm going to go to bed.
Did you all record your show on Sunday nights or on weekends?
No. We moved it around a lot, depending on availability of everybody. We tried Thursday nights was a really good night.
That's where we started, Thursday
night. Yeah, we stayed away from Monday nights because, you know, with work and everything, you never know what would happen in work.
Yeah.
You might get stuck. You might have an issue that you have to deal with. So we tried to stay away from Mondays. Sunday was
funny. Sorry, John. I was going to say the original intent was to record Thursday. You know, Thursday, Friday, you can kind of slow roll it to work, you know, at the time. And then if I was on the road traveling, I would be, chances are, I'd be traveling Friday. So we get the show done Thursday night, post it on Friday so people have it for the weekend. But that was before we realized most people listen during their commute. So
yeah.
Nobody listens during Saturday.
So let me go back to that funny thing. Let me go back to the beginning days. And this is funny. And this will go back to the back end story and stuff. So, you know, Rich and Rico were night owls. And here I am going to want to go to bed at 10 o'clock, you know. And Rich and Rico are like, what's wrong, John? Old man here, got to go to sleep, blah, blah, blah. We're all, you know, oh, let's roll at 10 o'clock. Oh, geez, midnight, I finally roll into bed. And
I'd be a little late. Rico would be a little later. It'd be like 9:40 before you start the show. John's like, I want to go to bed, you know.
And you're like, well, whatever. And then all of a sudden here at the end, Rich is like, yeah, let's get at 9 o'clock. I want to be in bed by 10:30. Because he started getting on the side of being ready to go to bed. He's getting that, you know, getting to bed early. Now he's like, oh, well, let's go to bed. Let's get this knocked out.
Oh, man. Hey, Rico, were you kind of, like, bummed when you stopped doing it?
I was. And I miss it. Even talking tonight, you know, it's just like, oh, I miss this.
Yeah.
You know, just hanging out with my boys, you know, and just chilling and, you know, catching up and talking about the stuff that we love to do, you know. I'm starting to miss this. So thank you. You reopened this wound.
Well, coming back to you asked a question. I think this is the biggest question. I think me and Rich talked many times offline and on the back end. It's what is your goal for the show? What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
If you're just having fun and you don't care about numbers and making it grow, then just do it.
Motorcycle Man Podcast. That's what we do.
But if you want to grow the numbers and make it grow and become a big show, you got to put in the work. And then I think what really got to it, and Rich probably agree, and Rico, it started to get to be it wasn't a hobby anymore. It became a second job. And Kevin probably can say too.
You know, it becomes a labor of love. That's what it becomes down to.
Yeah. Well, especially when you have labor. Sponsors, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at one point we had three sponsors, and I went, I think, like 2 years without missing a single week episode.
That's good.
And that's so, like, if I'm traveling, so I may be traveling to something, but I've had to do two shows the previous week. And then do two shows. And there were sometimes where it's like I'm traveling back to back and you're just killing yourself doing this because you've got some kind of obligation. That's when once the sponsors kind of backed out, I stopped seeking them out. And while it was nice having a little bit of the sponsor income because it allowed me to do more with the show and to get equipment that I needed at the time, it kind of took a little bit of the fun out of it because I could tell, okay, this isn't going to be something that's going to get big enough to ever actually give me money to put in my pocket, which never happened, right? All the money I ever got for the show went back in the show in some form or fashion, right? Yeah, did it play for, you know, something else? And did I have a podcast, you know, credentials and stuff like that? Sure. But I still had to get there, and I still had to eat while I was there and stay in a hotel and, you know, Orlando and Vegas aren't cheap. So, you know, Ohio, I mean, it's just a lot of money there. So, you know, that's where all that money went into. I never got jack squat back from it other than just the enjoyment of doing it. And I'll share what Rico says. I mean, I've enjoyed tonight. So I appreciate this, and I do miss it. You know, I mean, that's something that I do miss, and I miss the recording. I don't miss all the other post stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, spot on. Yep.
Next, big question. So what's in store for you guys now? Now that you're not podcasting anymore, what are you going to do? Wow, the silence is deafening.
Well, no, I had to think about that one. Like, yeah, what is new?
Well, we still have, if you want to talk about what's still going, is the Motorcycle Podcasters Challenge is still a thing. So John and I did the admin duties and the podcast and wrapped that up this year. So that's still a thing. We'll still do that next year, and we'll probably have a couple of shows between now and the next one just to dry run a few things and stuff like that. But
Hang on, Rich. We got to give props to the winners here, Mr. Motorcycle Man.
Big winner.
Well, I mean, when you get the other two teams that have dominated it beforehand out of the way, I mean.
Well, there is that.
Kevin, your team was there.
Yeah, you were represented.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And so was Loud Pipes. They were represented.
No.
So.
You're not doing the podcast anymore. So what are you doing? I know, Rich, for example, you're doing a lot of track stuff.
Yeah, so I pretty much converted all my riding to the track, which, you know, this is now my third track season. I think I've really found my calling when it comes to riding. It's just, I don't know, it just really suits me. I've always been into racing, always, probably since I could walk, and just never actually tried my hand at going on the track and going fast. So I'm filling that void, and also I still get to ride, but it's, John can attest to this from the Harley days, 20 minute bursts, you know. You go out on the track 20 minutes, and then you come back and you chill for 40, and then you go back.
No more Starbucks stops at Rico.
Yeah, I know, right?
Starbucks stops. And that's one thing, I mean, you know, I don't remember that Rich way back in the day, and he always, you know, well, I got to stop, and I'm like, what? 30 minutes later.
There's a Starbucks someplace, right, John?
Yeah.
I do remember those episodes where you guys would be whining because Rich would have to stop after a few minutes of riding. He wants to take a break or whatever.
Or pee. He air stretches legs.
So, well, Kevin, you know, and you're doing the teaching now, and mm-hmm. You're doing the off-road thing.
Yeah, so, last year, I think it's pretty well known, I had a DVT in my leg. So that Las Vegas trip I was talking about coming back, I got a DVT. Since then, I've gotten several other DVTs and a couple pulmonary embolisms. So my riding has changed. I was really getting into being off-road.
Yeah.
I'm still really passionate about that. I still got everything, and that's still what I want to do. But I'm having to kind of pace myself. I can't stay too long in a very seated position. I don't know if Rich really paid attention when we were up in the mountains. I spent just as much time in the saddle as I did standing on the bike. And Tom behind me probably got tired of looking at my backside.
No, you were behind me.
Yeah. Well, you got mirrors. So, that was still riding, still doing some things, just kind of working around that. I am coaching, a fair amount. I'm taking the summer off. I'll start coaching in the fall. They're wanting me to learn to do the three-wheeled BRC and do the ARC as well. As well as the basic bike binding. So they're trying to convince me to take all these trainer courses so I can teach all these different classes. And I don't know. I'm definitely going to do the ARC coach prep. I don't know about the three-wheeled because, for me, I need to be passionate about it to be able to do it. Yeah. And it's if you're not riding a three-wheel vehicle regularly, I don't know if you're really –
in a position to teach about it.
Yeah, and so I was just like, I need
to
get
on it.
Do you
want to come down and teach it for you?
Yeah, come on down. They'll train you. Get you working out. So I don't know. I'm a little bit, you know, I don't know if that's
so
what
you got
I
a
need
full,
to do.
You got a full plate. You're busy.
Yeah,
you're
and then on top of that, so before the whole motorcycle thing in college, I was a huge golfer, like fanatic, right? Kind of, you know, chin handicap, golfed almost every day.
Now the Titleist hat doesn't give anything away.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And so when I got married, I stopped golfing because we started popping out kids left and right. And so, and now that my son's old enough, he started wanting to play golf. And so he got into it. Well, if he's got to play, well, then dad needs to be able to take him out there and play with him. So dad needs to start playing again. Now both my daughters are into it. So this year has turned into the year of golf in my family.
Right.
And
oh my God, here's Rico.
You know, and so you know we've joined a little local country club here, and it's got two courses we can play on, and my son's doing junior PGA, and so you know most of my time in the afternoons is, you know, I'm on a golf course and shuttling them back and forth between driving ranges and stuff. So you know, it's great to get back out and swing the clubs again, and I just bought a new putter earlier today instead of buying a new skid plate for the BMW. I mean, that was like, okay, hey, a putter broke on vacation, and so I was like, I need a new putter.
Wow.
And,
Look at how priorities change. Yeah, it's amazing how priorities change. What about you, John? Go ahead.
Yeah, funny thing is my kids are like, hey, Dad, can we do a golf YouTube channel? And initially I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And then I start thinking about, wait a minute, whoa. I would have to do. I was like, so who's going to do all the editing? And they're like, oh, I will. I was like, okay. So when you're going to come home, you're going to stay up and edit and do all this stuff. I'm like, well, I'm like, aha. It's like, this isn't something that I'm going to be doing on my own if we're going to do this. So we're in talks. I doubt anything happens. But it would be cool for us to do something kind of as a family around one central thing. And So that may be where my content creation juices are get forward to, because I still have that, right? I still have need to.
Well, that's good. And I'm sure, Rich, you're going to be taking your kids to the track soon, right?
No. Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah. Well,
that all depends on mama. So
I understand.
But my kids in motorcycling didn't work out that well. Yeah. I've had to fix more on the bike. I've actually taken more time pushing the bike on and off the trailer than I have them actually riding it. Like, my last time we went out, my son got it out. He rode it about 15 feet, dropped it, broke the brake lever clean off. And I was like, well, we're done. And my wife's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, brake lever is completely done. We're done. So I get back up. Let's go. And she's like, are you kidding? I'm like, no, I'm not. So I was like, it happens. You know, you get up there, you drop a bike, brake lever, ding.
Oh, damn. How about you, John?
So, continue my riding, trips is probably on tap, as always.
Yeah.
Going back to continuing stuff, and Kevin kind of brought it up, and I don't think Rich finished it, but we will, with Loud Pipes, still have the meetup that we're planning in September in Virginia.
Okay.
That's still going to go on. And I guess, you know, the biggest thing that's been happening going on personally in life is my nephew that's going to be turning 12 here in August has played soccer since he's been about 4 or 5, and he has gotten into BMX racing.
Nice.
So he is, let's see, he's probably about 3 months in. He has gone locally. He actually went to brag on him is here in early May, late May, was down. Yeah, May. First weekend at MPC, that's it. I was in Atlanta, and he actually won 2 national events there in Atlanta for his age. So he's 11 novice. So he won 2 there, so that was win 3. He came back and won a bunch. And got up to win number 9. And here 2 weekends ago, we went to Nashville to race in a big national event. He came home 2nd in both of those.
Wow.
In his age group. So he's loving BMX.
And apparently you are too.
Yeah, I'm his little coach. So I'm his little coach. So I'm there and my sister goes. So we go do it. It's, you know, it's really awesome. He's passionate. He's loving it. And he's really, really excelled, and it's really cool to see him. As much soccer he's played, he comes home from nationals and he has the 2 national wins are about 3.5 feet tall trophies.
Wow.
And he's got 2 of those, and the 2nd place are probably about 3 feet, so he's gotten those. So wow. I mean, it's pretty awesome. It's awesome to see, and he's really quick, and people are like really good, and he's gotten some clinics by some pros. We actually have a pro that lives in the area that he was going to have a clinic with him tonight, but he decided he didn't want to go. So,
fading away.
No, he went and did something else. He went to one of the other teams at our team members' house and hung out with them because he's need to upgrade his bike.
Ah.
He has a a bike that weighs about 20 pounds, and, well, it's time to lighten the bike up.
Yeah. Oh. Are you going to get it to BMX too?
Some of the people, some of the older guys on the group are trying to talk me into it.
Uh oh.
And I'm trying to sit there.
Who wouldn't want to see John on a BMX bike?
Me.
Well, there's actually, if you saw pictures, I've actually ridden my nephews, and it's interesting because it's like, it's all standing up, and I just don't have the comfort to stand up and go in these turns, and there's some older guys. There's actually one of the guys on the team that's kind of another coach, and he's like 53, and he races, and that's kind of my thing, and that's kind of where I started looking at here coming up here in August and stuff in September. It's like, oh, I got that going on. Oh, he's racing this. Oh, this. I'm like, oh. So, hey,
John, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So when is the Loud Pipes meet up again in Virginia?
It's September 17th, I think.
September 17th.
And how far is New Jersey from Virginia?
I knew that was going to come up.
Right.
It is a short little jaunt.
It is a short jaunt. It is a short jaunt.
And I have actually done a pre-ride, and this, since we don't do a show, I actually did in early April. Mid-April, I did a meetup with Dangerous Dave and Lonnie and Missy and Brian in Virginia. We rode some of the roads, and Rich even knows some of the roads that we went on. And we got some pretty cool roads to ride.
All right.
So some pretty nice ones.
I will keep the date in mind. And
am I right, Rich? Is it?
I want a commitment, Ted.
Rich, you want the date?
I can give you a partial.
I guess I'm muted. I can look it up.
All right.
And I think Hogan's last. I don't know what he's doing other than working like a
fool. There you go. Well, what's your plans, man? I mean, you haven't been on a show in a while. So what you up? You got any future riding plans?
We just actually, Rich and I just did a ride, what was it, 3 weeks now? With the dogs. Yeah, in the mountains. So that was good. So that was a good time. This was Rich's first time riding with the Roadhawks. So this was something new for him because every time, you know, we got it with the Roadhawks, Rich has something else better to do.
Since 2015 was when we recorded the first show with them.
Right. So what I'm doing is I'm currently doing getting my license to become a commercial and home inspector. Ooh. So I'm about to start a business and do that. And so I got that going on, and still playing golf. I got a tournament this weekend up in Ohio to go to, so I'll be doing that. And just, you know, continual traveling. COVID threw a wrench in my traveling plans this year because I had planned to hit a whole bunch of international places up this year and get a lot of places under my belt, but COVID stopped all that. Yeah. So I've just been doing a lot of domestic stuff, and that's about it, really.
Speaking of plans getting messed up, Rico.
Oh, yeah, right. Owlman.
Yeah, you realize we would have been coming home today.
I know.
Did they cancel the Isle of Man? They did cancel the Isle of Man this year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Damn, that's a shame.
Second year in a row.
I know. That's just stinks. Biggest question and the last question I will ask you guys.
All right.
Any chance you guys will fire up your podcast again for an episode or two in the future?
I would. I guess the question... the thing I struggle with is, if you restart something, would you just throw a new episode into the existing podcast, or would it be an all new thing? That's really the only thing I go back and forth with is, yeah, it would be fun to get together and throw an episode out here and there, but do you want to do that to the show that you've said you've ended? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I think you'd have to, though.
Yeah, it's all still there. I mean, we have no plans of shutting the site down. Doesn't cost a lot of money. We still, you know, help produce and support the Cracklecast. We've got the MPC.
Yeah.
So there's still things going on, and there's no money coming in. So that'll probably determine when we get rid of it is when I get tired of it.
Yeah. And until then, we'll just add another episode to existing.
Yeah. So.
Because right now, how about you, Kevin? No? Yes? No?
I really think that Throttled probably won't have another episode. However, that doesn't mean that there may not be a new creation in the future. Right. The like I said earlier, the thing that for me is I kind of jokingly sent something to Rich. I was like, hey, if y'all ever start something else out, let me know. Just don't ask me to do anything other than show up and talk. because that's just kind of, you know, I need what your brothers do. Hey, we show up, we talk, and then we don't think about it again until the next show.
Exactly.
You know, so, exactly, yeah. So that's, you know, like I would love to be on a show. I'd love to be part of the show. I enjoy doing it. Scheduling the time to do the recording isn't as big a deal as doing that, all the other stuff that goes with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody wanted me to be on their show and we could work something out, it'd be cool. But for the most part, you know, I doubt we have another episode. If we do, it'll be, I don't know. I can't imagine the reason of putting another episode once I publish the final one.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I think the meetup, Ted.
Yeah, the meetup.
The meetup probably be a good time to throw something in the feed, yeah.
You know what? But do the YouTube thing. Because I think that's a way to go. And you know what it is? Everybody talks about algorithms with YouTube, but I think if you just do it at your own leisure, just as something to do, it'll attract viewers. You know, especially if people who like Loud Pies Podcast. You know, that's something to think about. But a little tidbit of information: at last count, this is counting through Google Podcasts, there were 164. Motorcycle-related podcasts.
Oh, wow.
And more than half of them are no longer publishing podcasts. That's pretty interesting. The two longest-running podcasts, who do you think they are?
Yours.
Misfits. Yours. Cleveland Moto.
Misfits, Cafe Racer, or what Race. Is now the Motorcycle Show.
The two longest-running ones are the Misfits podcast and, of course, Cleveland Moto. They're the longest-running ones, yeah. There is another one called the Sound Rider Podcast. It's been around, I think, nearly as long as Cleveland Moto. They just don't have as many episodes out. But a lot of the other ones, they're only putting out episodes every now and then. Cafe Racer Podcast only puts out an episode every now and then. Now they're not regulars. So
and that was a consideration too before we sort of said we're done was, you know, can we do this once a month and still have it be something we want to do. Yeah. So there was quite a bit of conversation around, you know, what's the frequency? Can we do it monthly? Is it every 2 weeks? And, you know, it just kind of came back to, we're done for now.
Well, so, as an example, the Sound Rider podcast, they used to record an episode every week. Now they do one a month.
Similar.
Listen, I want to thank you guys for joining me here on the show. It's been actually great to have you on and chat with you all about this. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. It was great to reminisce a little bit and have a little couple laughs. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope I didn't bum you out because now you're, you know, thinking about what you just left.
I mean, look, anybody that has watched my final episode saw how emotional I got, and then everybody will hear it when I put it out. I mean, it was an emotional thing to shut down the show.
Did you cry?
Oh yeah.
I did.
No. I mean, it was one of those things of when you put as much into it as I did for as long as I did, and you're worried about it and you're really pushing it, and then you think back on the relationships that you forged during that time. I mean, for you guys, right? Yeah. And then all the other co-hosts, and you're thinking, you know, well, I may never get a chance to really see and speak to some of these people again. Because people just fade, you know, you lose contact and stuff, especially if you've never been around each other and have the friendship that you guys have built up. You know, we came together for the show ends, you know, what's the likelihood it sticks together? You know, I got a little choked up and, you know,
but it's expected.
I'm an emotional guy, y'all.
I think it was a little easier for me, at least, because we went through that probably a year prior.
Yeah.
You know, where it didn't look good and we really thought about ending it. We did take a little hiatus and then came back. So emotionally, I kind of went through all that before. So when it was time to end it, it was more like a relief. If, you know, if I'm honest, it was just, okay, all right, we're done. We don't have to get on the calls anymore. And
here I have you guys back on a show, and now you're talking about it, and it's getting all fired up again.
Yeah.
We went from missing a show for a technical reason to doing the, 10 days later, just like, hey, we're done.
Yeah.
So it was really sudden. Yep. And, I'm happy with what we got out there. I think we did a great thing for the majority. Not all of them are wonderful, especially the last few. But we worked hard for a long time, and put out a quality product for as long as we could. And then people are putting out better products now. So by all means, listen to them.
Yeah. You devote 5-6 years to something like that, and it becomes a part of your life, and then it's something you break routine and you're not doing it anymore. You're just like, okay, it's a change. But like you said, Rich, now all of a sudden now you've got that Sunday evening back, so now it's on to something totally different. You look back on it, right?
So funny story.
Funny story.
So Sunday being recording night, and it's been recording night since early on in the show. I mean, we were Mondays, published on Wednesdays for about 2 years. Then for the last three, especially since we started doing broadcasting, once we started doing a live stream, we stabilized on Sunday nights because that's like there's almost no ball stuff, right? And so my kids, it's like, okay, hey, when I go downstairs at 7 to the show, it's quiet time. You're off the TV because we stream here. We don't have cable, right? So no TV, no tablets to stream. My wife is the only person that can stream something. And so quiet time in the house. So when it ended the show, it was really eerie because I'm kind of doing my own thing. And then everybody around 6:55, the house just got really silent. I'm like, what happened? And then it's like, podcast, why aren't you doing your podcast? I was like, I remember I told you I ended it last week. And let me tell you, my kids got upset. They were just like, what do you mean you ended the podcast? That was the coolest thing about you.
Like, you. Oh, man.
Oh, appreciate it. Wow. That's what my daughter said. She was like, that was so cool. Everybody loved the fact that you did a podcast.
Wow. Yeah. I got a little bit of that from my kids. And, another little inside story, if you will, is I was supposed to continue with a racing / track day show with my oldest son. And somebody put the squash on that for now. So if we do have another show, it will likely be that one.
I wonder who that would be.
I don't know. I can't even fathom a guess. But listen,
yay hi.
But I want to thank you guys for being on the show. It was really great having you on here. And it was really nice to get some of the insides of what's going on through your shows. And we do hope to hear you out there again in the future. As always, you guys are always welcome to come on my show as a guest anytime.
Whatever. You just sucked all the jelly out of my donut, mister.
We have to pay an entry fee because we don't ride Harleys.
I'm going to ride the Pan American.
I've ridden it. If you have not ridden that bike, get out there and ride it.
I got to find a place that will let me ride it in the
absolutely day. Amazing motorcycle. Amazing.
I actually know two people that have them.
Oh, really? They have them already? They own them?
Yeah. Zion.
Oh, Zion bought one?
Yeah. And the interesting one I think has done it is Bronco Ride, Colin, that was part of our thing that does YouTube. He actually got one.
Wow. It's a great bike. It really is a fantastic motorcycle. So take a shot. Go ride it. Definitely.
Oh, I'm planning on it. I just here's a Alabama. The dealers around here, when we were calling around right before the show ended trying to schedule a ride, they're just like, oh, we're not getting any in. We haven't ordered any. We don't think they're going to be that popular.
Oh my God.
The thing is I was talking to a guy, like, we get calls about them all the time, but they won't order any. And so I think now they're changing their tune because they realize, like, hey, this is probably going to be our leading seller potentially. They can't keep them at this point.
Yeah, I know.
So,
and like I said, guys, you're welcome on my show anytime. Just keep in touch. It's been great to have you on here and talk to you about this. Any last words before I kick you off the phone?
I gotta lie. I'm gonna miss you.
You gotta lie. He's gonna miss me. Can always count on Rico. All right. guys. Thank you very much. Jeff. You guys take care of yourself.
All right, take care, kid. Bye, buddy. Bye.
The Motorcycle Man Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. To learn more, go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate and see your money go to a cause that actually makes a difference in the lives that it affects. And the Gold Star Ride Foundation, they're helping families of fallen soldiers. If you would like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org to learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Thanks for joining me, Rich, John, Rico, and Kevin in the V-Twin Cafe here on the Motorcycle Men Podcast, where we talked about their podcasts and their conclusions. Links to both podcasts can be found on the Motorcycle Men website links page. And don't forget to head on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel to watch some of the many videos we have there, including the Ted Shed and Ride with Ted videos. And of course, we have t-shirts, sweatshirts, and other apparel that can now be purchased at the shop page on the website. So get on over there and get yourself a Motorcycle Men t-shirt or something like that. And for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.